Good evening, class. Well, this is our first class for the 2024 class school year. My name is Reverend Gotro. I'll be instructing you for the next few weeks, a few months. And this class is spiritual authority. I want to explain a little bit about my way of testing and quizzes. All my questions are very simple. I stick with the book. I don't do any trick questions. If it's either true or false, there's no in between questions. Mainly, our quizzes are just to make sure that you retain the information that we try to put out in these next few weeks. Not trying to flunk anyone, but just want to make sure that you get the information and be able to retain it in your spirit and make sure that you have a better foundation for whatever God is calling you to do. So without any further delay, I want to begin the book in chapter 1 of your spiritual authority book. I pretty much go down the line. So if I deviate every now and then, but I pretty much stick with the book. My scriptures are going to be coming from Romans 13 chapter and also Hebrews 1 and verse 3. We're going to be dealing with the subject of God's throne is established on authority. God's throne is established on authority. And I'm going to begin by reading Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. If you're following pretty close, you're going to be able to stick with this class real good. If you take good notes, you'll have no problem in progressing in this class. Because like I said, I stick pretty much well with the book. So, but look, before we read, let me give you a couple of definitions first. I want to give you a definition of authority. And I want you to give you a definition of the word ACT, A-C-T. Both of these words are going to be used quite frequently in this lesson. And authority is the main subject. So here's the definition you need to remember and keep under your belt. Authority is power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. I'm going to read that again. Authority is power to influence. What do you mean to influence? To persuade. God his goal is to persuade us. Remember Paul said that Abraham in the fourth chapter of Romans, he was fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded. And so the word of God, what God does, he wants us to persuade us with his authority, to persuade us to his ways of doing things and his thought. So I'm going to read again. It's the power to give orders. Let me back up. It's the power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. And it's also the power to give orders or make decisions, and the power or right to direct or control someone or something. You see, God, when God used the word, well, we use the word control when we speak about God and authority, we're not talking about overpowering your will. This control is to steer you, just like you control a vehicle, to steer you in the right direction. You know, God can't make you turn, but he'd like to give you ability to be able to steer through the right direction and control your actions and your thought through his divine word. So when we use the word control, we're not talking about a takeover of your will. God will never take over your will. God likes free will submission, free will obedience. And we're going to see that more and more as we follow closely in this book. So, it's the right to direct or control someone or something. Now, let me give you a brief definition of the word acts, because very shortly, as we go through some of the notes, you're going to see the word acts come up, A-C-T-S, in the book, acts. You're going to talk about the acts of God. And so here's the definition of acts. Is the process or act of doing something. Very simple. The product or act or the process, really, the process or act of doing something. God does things through words. Listen to this closely. You're not going to find this in your book. God does things through words, actions, and his commandments or his command. Okay? All right, so with those two definitions in mind, let's begin to read in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, all the way through the 7th verse. Verse 1, and let's begin. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be or exist are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs to be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Now underline that word conscience sake, because that's one of the key things about authority, is to be able to submit with a conscience and, for sake, which is the one of the root of your being, of your soul, your conscience. And once your conscience begin to function in this area, I'll put it like this, you'll be on your way when you submit for conscience sake. Because I want to have a Paul say, he have a clear conscience. Romans 9:1, we're going to get that sometime. He says, conscience bear him witness in the Holy Ghost. So when your conscience is connected to the Holy Ghost, it's a free flow class when it comes to submission. It's not wrestling, trying to obey or not to obey, but it's a free flow. And in this class of spiritual authority, we're going to try to define what spiritual authority really is and how it's going to affect our life in what God called us to do, and even in serving others, it becomes more applicable as we function in a servant role. And it won't be, how would I say that, class? It won't be frustrating to you. Sometimes people get frustrated because they don't understand authority. All right? Now, verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute, for they are God's minister, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all they do tribute, to whom tribute is due, custom, to whom custom, fear, to whom fear, honor, to whom honor, which is due. Okay. Now, I'm going to read Hebrews 1:3, but I want to read a couple of things out of this book so we can connect with one another and see where we headed in this class. Now, point number one in this chapter is God's throne established on authority. Point number one is the acts of God, that word acts I was telling you about, that we're going to refresh ourselves with the definition I just gave you. The acts of God, think about the acts of God, issued from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. Well, God acts, we just said earlier, is his action, his commands, and what's the third one I give you, class? His action. I'm going to read it again. Commands. And the way he does, and what he does, his process of doing what he does. And that's what I want to really get. What God does and what he says, his actions, I'm taking my time for a reason, becomes his acts. The acts of God, each is from his throne, and his throne, well, when we use the word throne, we're talking about his seated position, his position of authority, his sovereignty, God's place of dominion. So, the act of God, right, issued from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. And I'm trying to make sure I give you a real good understanding, because I don't want to confuse you here, because these things I'm about to talk about, you're going to have to put spiritual thought with it. Because when we say the acts of God, we're talking about his doing, his commands, and his functioning. I'm trying to gather the words to put with thought so you can understand, class, exactly what I'm trying to get at you. Now, it better to explain this if we go to Hebrews 1 and 3. Not Hebrews 1 and 3. I want to go to Psalm 103 and verse 7. Psalm 103, verse 7. Let me give me a chance to find it, class. And I'm going to give you a chance to find it. Okay, I got it. Psalm 103 and 7. Listen to this now. And we're going to get connected. And I'm not in a hurry. But I don't want to just throw things out. But I want to make sure I'm connected and you connected with the train of thought that we're going to establish from this first day of introduction to where we're going with this class. Let me stumble a little bit. I've learned that, because when you stumble, you're not depend on your own ability, but you know we lean on our infirmities, like apostles say all the time. Okay? Psalm 103, verse 7. He said, he made known his ways, underline this in your Bible, ways unto Moses, and his acts, underline this word acts, his acts. Remember what we talked about, his process of doing something. God, in the life of Moses and the children of Israel, demonstrated many supernatural acts before the children of Israel. Many signs came forth because he was proving them that he was God Almighty, and also he was proving to Moses that I am going to be with you, and you're not going to deliver the children of Israel by yourself. And it's going to be by my power, my might, and my authority that these things are going to function. So he showed his acts. He showed his ways to Moses. Now, the ways of God and the acts of God are two different functioning. God's ways is this manner of doing things. He showed Moses his secrets of his functioning. He showed Moses his thoughts about doing things. He showed Moses, he gave Moses his mind, access to his mind in his thoughts and his ideas and his plans. But the children of Israel, he showed them the results when his plans go into, I'm using this word, action. You see, what he showed the children of Israel were the results of some of the things he was about to do to deliver them. So they saw the acts of God. They saw the miracles, and they saw the signs, and they saw the wonders, and they saw the Red Sea opening. They saw the sea turning to blood. They saw Moses came with the flies and the frogs and turned the water into blood. They saw the acts of God. Stick with me, class. We're going to get there. But his ways was shown unto Moses. The secret of his manifestation, the secret of his might was with Moses, because he said, I am going to be with you. All right? So now we about to get started on this journey here. I think I didn't got to the van. I need to get to, so you can see where we headed here. That you got to get into the van before. And you stumble around a little bit till you get into that van. So that van is this. He showed his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. All right? Now, with that scripture implies that his acts are different from his ways. Now, let's go back to our lesson now. All right? Now, we're going to see something that's going to try to connect us with the lesson today. His acts. Now, with that 103 and verse 7, it gives us a little bit better idea about the acts of God. Now, I'm going to read it again. The acts of God issued from his throne. Those things that he presented to the children of Israel were the result of it. It was the result of his authority coming forth. Now, catch me now. God sits on the throne, and his authority is released from his throne. And that becomes his acts, the signs and miracles. All right? No. Now let's go a little further now. So his acts of God issue from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. You see, God's authority is everything that he is. When you speak of authority, that's who God is. God is authority. And we see the result of his authority, I got it now, through his acts. We see the outcome of his authority, class, through his acts. I hope you got it. I stumbled a little bit. But I had to hit the mark so you can see it. And I think you saw it going through Psalm 103, verse 7. And point number two, class, all things are created through God's authority. I want to take you back again. Now, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Genesis 1 talks about God's creation and how God established the earth and how he called things, and things that was existed, just like he said it. God said, let there be light. There was light. And God said, let there be a firmament over the waters. And God spoke all the solar system, everything he created into existence. And so he did that. and it was issued from his throne, from his, but God had it already in his mind what he was going to do. And so when he spoke it, it came into existence by his mighty authority. So authority is the creative ability of God. That's who God is. Everything, when we think of authority, let's think about God himself. You see it? That's what authority is. And so when God speaks, the earth trembles. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. You know, I got to thinking about that. You know, Paul talked about that over in the epistles, about how heaven was God's throne and earth was God's footstool. And I use my spiritual imagination. And I can see my Father God sitting on his throne and resting his feet upon the, that's a big God, resting his feet upon this earth, his footstool. I see, you know, that's a mighty big God. He let us see God's vastness and God's bigness and God omnipotent, God power, and just how small everything else is. God is awesome. That's all I can say. Now, let's go to Hebrews 1 and 3. Hebrews 1 and 3, Clam. It's another powerful scripture, and it's going to keep us in line with what we're talking about. If I get you to see this, class, if I get you to see this, this first part, see, sometimes the foundation is the most important part of any kind of structure you're building. And I'm trying to build us a foundation on this authority here. So if I get this wrong, everything else I say is going to be wrong. Are you with me, class? So if we get this wrong, everything else going to be wrong. It's Hebrew what? 1 and 3. I got to 3. I hope you don't go to chapter 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Okay. Look what Hebrews 1 and 3 said. Who? Talking about Jesus. See, this scripture is speaking about Jesus. Who? Being the brightness of his glory. Brightness of whose glory? Of his Father's glory. Jesus was the brightness of God's glory. And let me take a little side story here. You know, if you ever wonder what Jesus is, Jesus is the exact expression of the Father, because him and the Father is one. Jesus said one time, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So he's the express image of the Father. If you want to know what the Father looked like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what the Father's thoughts are, listen at the red words, like Dr. Montrell said. If you know what the Father is thinking, go to his word and you see what his word says. All right? Now, who being the brightness of his glory, Jesus, and the express image of his person, of God's person, and he did the points I want to get to right here. The other part of the verse, like an appetizer right here, until what I'm trying to get to. It says, and upholding all things. Who's upholding all things? God uphold all things. Now, when I say uphold all things, now think about the creation that God created when he spoke everything in existence. Think about the solar system, how everything is rotated around the sun. And one scientist said that if everything were just off just a millimeter of an inch or a fraction or just a minute, he said the earth would burn up, because God got all this thing in so supernatural order, and he maintains it and holds everything in order by what? Right here. upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, Brother Nee, in his book, we're going to read this a little bit. He make a slight translation here in upholding all things by the word of his power. And for better our understanding, he says, uphold all things by the word of his power, of his authority. Now, that's, you see, why I'm taking my time so much, because these scriptures need to be understood. And sometimes, you know, we try to wrap certain things around our mind, and our mind try to figure it out. But everything from God had to be understood by faith and through revelation. And everybody say revelation. So we're going to study this scripture here, and we're going to get a revelation of what God is saying here. Upholding all things by the word of his power. And through study, we find out upholding all things, class, through the word of his power, of his authority. Now, let's back up. We need to find out what the difference between his power and concerning his word is. Now, let's go to the book, because he explained it better than I can explain, but I understand him. Now, point number four here. God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. You got that, class? God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. Okay? This point here going to bring us into understanding upholding all things by the word of his power, his authority. We're going to dig into this a little bit so we can get an understanding. I'm trying to give you the foundation of authority so we can know just what we're dealing with, who we're dealing with, what is authority, how it functions, and how it's released. All right? And so that's why I'm taking my time. Seems like I'm stumbling and fumbling a little bit, but I like to make sure I'm accurate with this, and I like to make sure that I'm tuned in to what the Word of God says, and not my own thoughts. Okay, you see, so listen at this statement here. This is from Revelation. Sin against power. We but to differentiate the difference between power and authority. And to do that, I got to define what power is here. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Now, let's stop there. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Now, let's define power. Now, God is authority. And when God speaks, listen to me, class, when God speaks forth a thing, he releases his power to his words. Now, so it's safe to say, write this down, that God's power is a release of his authority, which brings forth his act. Now, I hope you get that, class. It took me some time to understand this, because I've been teaching this class for many years, and it makes spiritual understanding when you understand it when it comes to authority. God's authority, when he speaks, it releases a power. His power, which bring forth his demonstrative acts, are the product of his authority. His acts is the product of his authority, and is released through his words, which is the power of his authority. Now, so, I want you to get this. Why this point here, Claire? This is not complicated. I'm trying to simplify it so we don't complicate it and think I'm teaching some deep stuff. It's so simple, Claire. But I had to understand it because the more I simplify God, which God is not simple, but God is not complicated either, the more I understand it from my understanding so I can function when I understand something. So in plain everyday word, God's authority is God himself. When God speaks, his power is being released. And the sum of his power or the result of his power is his acts or the demonstrated manifestation of what he spoke. Let there be light. Authority spoke that. Words release his power, and his power went forth and created manifestation, which we call the acts of God, according to Psalm 103 and 7. He showed Moses his ways, his ways are his means by which he functioned. He showed the children of Israel his acts. This are the result of God's speaking, the result of Moses putting forth the rod. This saw the Red Sea split, which was his acts, his demonstrated power. You see, I'm saying the same thing over and over, class, so you can get it. Because as we move on, I'm not going to come back to this again. You see, because this is the foundation I'm setting here. His authority, his power, and his acts. Sin against power, now we're going to start making sense with this. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against God's authority. Now that's important. Now, because according to Hebrews 1 and 3, let me read Hebrews 1 and 3 again, because we got to get it. Like I said, I'm not trying to complicate anything, but I want you to see this. Listen to Hebrews 1 and 3. I'm reading the B part of that verse. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Well, the word of his power is the release of God's authority. You see, the word of his power is the release of his authority. So, Brother Nee rephrased it by the word of his power of his authority. His word releases God's power, which came from him being the authority to do that. Everything that exists came from God's authority, from God himself, all right? That's what authority is, God himself. And he is the authority. There's no other authority that stands against God, greater than God. He is the authority, all right? Now, I got that out of the way. So, let's go back to the book, Lamb. I'm going to read this. I call it point number five. I'm taking a little time here because this is the foundation. Point number five, and I hope you understand, class. If you got questions about it, I think that's the way you can go into online and try to get it to me, and I try to address it if you don't understand it. But that's why I'm taking enough time here so I don't get no question. I'm trying to make it plain enough where you catch it the first time, all right? And I'm not trying to complicate it, but I'm just setting a foundation because this has been an area that a lot of times never been really taught in the churches. The authority of God. You see, from this point of view, I like to call it from the apostolic point of view, which apostle has this entire school under his apostolic grace. Which opened the portals of heaven and let us see what God is doing. All right? Now, I'm going to read again. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority because the latter is a sin against God himself. What's the latter? The sin against authority is sin against God himself. Why? Because God is authority. Now the question is, how do we sin against power and how do we sin against authority? or what is sin against power? I'm breaking it down, class. And what is sin against authority? I'm glad you asked those questions. Sin against power, now let's back up a little bit. Sin against power, you remember when I said when authority speaks, his power is released through his authority? And one of the way God released his authority is through words or his commands, all right? Now, so when you sin against power, you're sinning against God's word or God's command or God's commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not lie. The Ten Commandments and what God gave Moses on Mount Sinai on the tablets of stone. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. That became the laws for the people to live by. And that those laws was to govern the people with God's commandments, to keep them holy, to keep them just, all right? And so those laws was God's command. And anytime you sin against that command, you will sin against God's power. Catch it, class. But why? It's just an exchange of words, you see it? I don't want you to get confused, but it's just an exchange of words. You sin against God's power. I could say it 10 other ways, you see it? And so you sin against God's way of life. You sin against God's righteousness, his right way of doing things. You're coming against what God called pure and holy. That was his command, you see it? And it came by way of his power, he's speaking it. So when we stand against power or his commandment, we could easily say it and made this thing whole lot simpler. If sin against God's command is more easily forgiven than sin against his authority. Wouldn't that be much simpler? But we just took the scripture out of the Bible and broke it down so we can see exactly what the whole ramification is, so it could be clear for us on another level of how the word of God releases God's authority. Now, you see, why not just use sin against command? And why not use sin against God's word? Well, this is to give you understanding of the revelation, how it's revealed unto us through the scripture. Okay? Now, so sin against God's command, which is commandment, is more easily forgiven than sin against God's authority. Now, let me say it this way. Over in 1 John 1 and 9, Apostle Paul says, and my time is almost up already, class. Apostle Paul says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we confess our sin, according to 1 John 1 and 9, God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we are clean, we are right, and we are holy again. God makes us one with him again. And so that sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against the authority. Now, when we sin against the authority, we sin against God himself, and that becomes rebellion. And that's the difference. That's why it's more easily forgiven. Because when you rebel against God, you become an adversary of God, and you're against God. God, when you sin against his ability, his power, his command, then God can give you grace for that once you repent out of a pure heart. You see it? And so I just have to go there, class, and we're going to take up a little bit there because I'm not through. I don't feel satisfied with the results of it, so we can know exactly what God is on his mind. They're just a foundation. So I think we clear some things up to our understanding. And so once we lay this foundation, we're going to go on and we're going to meet the mark that we're trying to get to. So we stumbled a little bit, seemed like we stumbled, but I want you to see clearly the revelation here that God's authority is who he is. And when you come against his authority, you come against God himself. I'm going to leave you with that, class, and we're going to take up, and I'll see you next week. God bless.